10:30. It's time for us to worship together here at Stanley Heights Baptist Church. I'm so glad that we're sharing these moments together. And on this day, I'm going to ask you, start with this question today. What keeps you going? What keeps you going? Well, the question that we'll answer today as we come to the end of our series in the book of Joshua, entitled Claiming God's Victory, is going to be a real help for all of us when we learn what kept Joshua going. And you'll find that God will help you to keep going as well in your life. And then, today is just an important day for our church family. Michael and Barbara Henson and the kids are heading back to Georgia this week. And as they go back to the country of Georgia, we're going to recommit them to the Lord's calling for their lives in that country. And so tonight, I'm looking forward to doing so, and all of us as a congregation recommitting them to it. We'll hear testimonies, and we'll see their presentation again. You'll hear about what's the future as well. And we have a reception in their honor as well. So you want to make sure that you're part of it and a participant in it. And just give your love to them. Let's remember our mission here at Stanley Heights Baptist Church is to glorify God by developing and deploying disciples in this generation for the next. Let's pray and ask God to help us today as we come in His name. Lord, we come to You at this place, and we are coming together in Your name. And since Jesus told us that where two or three are gathered in Your name, that You are in the midst, we ask, O Lord, we have come and we are asking that You would manifest Yourself to us. We pray, O Holy Spirit, that You would speak to us as individuals. We pray that as we've gathered today, as we sing the truths that the Bible reveals and they're placed in verse and song, we pray, God, that You would lift our vision, encourage us and teach us. We pray as we open the Word that You would speak to us in a powerful way, that You will teach us what You will do in our lives that keeps us going. And so we ask, God, for Your help in it. We look forward to all that You'll do in our time together, and even this whole day is committed to You. And so we ask for this to be done, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me as Pastor Alexander comes and leads us in singing?
This morning we have the opportunity to praise the Lord, the Almighty, His power, His creation, the salvation that He gives. Let's sing together number 8, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
Thank you. You may be seated.
If you are a guest for the first time at Stanley Heights, we are glad you're here, and we've prepared for your coming and looking forward to you sharing this time with us. We have for you a Connection Point booklet that will tell you about us and be a guide for our time together. So if you're a guest for the first time, raise up your hand. Our men will hand one of these to you as they pass by. You'll see that with it there's a guest card, and if you'll complete that with a street address or an email address, we will send you a thank you note and express our gratitude that you've shared this time with us today. Well, let's say the scripture we're learning about faith. We're learning each month this year about faith. We're learning the truth in the scripture, of course, that it's the foundation of it. Here's what we're learning in June. We are learning that we find refuge in our God by faith. We find refuge in our God by faith. And we'll say the first part of Deuteronomy 33:27 together. Boy, last month we had a really extensive scripture we were saying, right? This month we have a really short one. So I'm not sure if that means anything except it's short. So let's say together the first part of Deuteronomy 33:27, lifting our voices together. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Well, you did a great job on it. Let's say it one more time. It's our first time to do so together, lifting our voices. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms.
It's time to focus on our missionaries who are highlighted in our bulletin today. Sam and Sharon Dayanan, these were missionaries we support in the country of India. They're actually in a transition right now, getting ready to head to the country of Fiji. And as you know, mentioning our missionaries in India, we've been telling y'all about this anti-conversion bill that was passed a few months ago. It's made meeting there in the state where the Dayanans and even the Devakars are very, very hard for them to meet in their services and to have any kind of religious services at all. We know that they've had recent elections where the party got voted in that was very favorable to Christianity. This might just be a short reprieve. We don't know, but the Dayanans, the Lord has, they really feel the Lord is leading them out of India for this reason. And into the country of Fiji. They're actually in the States right now trying to raise additional support. The things are much more expensive in Fiji if you read their prayer letter. So they're having to raise additional support. But before they left India, Sharon was able to start an English-speaking ladies' Bible study, which she's going to continue over Zoom while they're here in the States. So be in prayer for Diana. Be in prayer for Christians in India. I know in our Sunday school class today, we prayed for India. 2,000 Christians, you don't hear this on the news, but over 2,000 Christians have been killed because of religious persecution in India. Most of this is in the north, away from where the Devakars and the Dayanans are. They're mainly in the southern part of India, but there is some real religious persecution going on in India, and we really need to be in prayer for these Christians there and these missionaries and pastors, and they're under the real threat of their own lives right now. So let's really be in prayer for them in the days ahead. And then also Graham and Renee Foran, these are missionaries we partner with in the country of Brazil. I think we've supported the Forans almost 30 years or more here at Stanley Heights, so we've been partners with them for a long, long time. God's been able to use them to establish many church plants there in Brazil, and they're praising the Lord. They're finally able to be in their auditorium for their services and baptized in heated water. I know the people that are being baptized are thankful for that, so praise the Lord for that, and then just praising the Lord for one of their young ladies that they had been working with. She got away from the Lord. She's now come back to the Lord, and just praising the Lord for that. Also, they helped celebrate the fifth anniversary of a church in Sao Paulo, Brazil. The pastor of this church is actually a man that they trained in one of their former church plants. was saved under their ministry. And if you read the Brother Graham's prayer letter, just praising the Lord that they're able to see the fruit of their work over many years in the country of Brazil. So let's praise the Lord on behalf of the foreigners for this. We'll pray for our offerings. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing all over the world. And Lord, we do pray for Sam and Sharon and their family today, Lord. You seem to be transitioning them to a new field in the country of Fiji. And Lord, we do pray for them as they're here in the States, speaking to their supporting churches and raising additional support to go to Fiji, Lord. We pray for this Bible study that Sharon will continue to do via Zoom with the ladies there in India. And Lord, we do pray for Christians in India, Lord, and just really suffering very harsh religious persecution right now. And a lot of the pastors there are being affected, Lord. And we do pray for the protection of Christians. We pray for the protection of our own church family there, David and Joanne and their boys there in India, Lord, as well as Mrs. Devakar, Lord. Thank you that in their state, it seems to be a little bit more favorable right now to Christianity, but we don't know how long that will last, Lord. But just pray for the protection for these folks, Lord, I pray. We do pray for the foreigners in Brazil, Lord. Thank you for how you've been providing for them with this new church building, and thank you for this one that's come back to you that they had been working with, Lord, and seems to be taking the right steps in her spiritual walk and growth, and then for this church plant that in Sao Paulo that they were able to be really actively involved in training this pastor and being involved in his spiritual growth, Lord. Just a real joy for them to be able to see the fruit of their ministry over many years in the country of Brazil. We thank you for that. Bless our offerings, Lord, today. Use them for the furtherance of your work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Boys and girls, it is time for children's worship, so come on. Let's see what's in the box today. All right. Do I see the box anywhere? I don't know if the box made it back from last week. Oh, there's a box. Oh, good. There's hope. There's hope for the world. We have the box.
All right, let's see, what did you bring today? May I have that, please? Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate that. All right, let's see what's in the box today. Look at that, huh? Look at that. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. All right. Is there something that you can tell me about this guy?
Yeah.
Tell me about him.
Okay. It's a kid in my toy. I pet it. I jump my toy.
It's your toy?
Yeah.
You play with your toy. Okay. All right. There we go. Okay. Well, let's see. That didn't move me quite as far along as I was hoping to give me an idea where to go with this one. Okay. That's quite a guy. Quite a guy. I'm really sort of stuck here. Did you ever get stuck?
Sometimes
you get stuck. How many of you kids ever been stuck? What do you do when you get stuck? Well, I've got a few ideas for you when you get stuck. When you get stuck, you say, I'm not sure what to do next. The first thing you want to do is you want to ask the Lord, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do next? What do you call that when you talk to the Lord and you ask the Lord things? What do you call that? What do you call that? What's that? Yeah, you pray. That's called prayer. Did you ever have a conversation with somebody? Yeah, you've talked to people a lot, right? Well, talking to our God is just that. It's having a conversation. Lord, okay, what do I do? I'm stuck. I'm not sure what to do next. What else do you do when you're stuck? Well, what would you suggest?
Ask for help.
Isn't that true? Let's see. When you ask for help, you could ask mom and dad for help. When you're stuck, you could ask one of your pastors, you could ask one of your parents, you could ask a teacher, you could ask someone that you know that you really trust, who's had a track record of being wise. You might ask your friend, but be careful. Sometimes your friend may not know any more than you do. Most people, whenever they have a problem, they'll go to a friend, even maybe that friend isn't the best person to listen to. So you want to find someone who especially you know has a relationship with God, has grown in a relationship with God and is seeking the Lord, and that you can trust. So you ask for some help. That's good. You always go to the Bible. What's the principles involved here? What does the Bible say about a situation like this? But you know what happens is sometimes, did you know that sometimes God wants you to be stuck? Did you know that? Why would God want you to be stuck? Well, I'll tell you why. Can I tell you why probably it's good for me to be stuck today? Because it's good for all of us to remember that we can't handle life on our own. In fact, God really didn't design us to handle life on our own. When you handle life on your own, you're missing out what God would want. It reminds us how much we need God. It brings us to a place of humility to say, God, see, I'm not that smart. I'm not that bright. I need your help to guide me. It gives us, when we come to the places that we're stuck, we seek the Lord and we really begin to ask. Sometimes in life, when we're not stuck, we're just doing our thing and going along, and we just do our thing and we don't really need the Lord. But when we're stuck, then it reminds us, Lord, I need you. And it reminds us when we're stuck to say, Lord, I need to always be this aware of how much I need you to help me and to guide me, how much I need you to give answers that I don't have. And do you know what happens? As God is working through the circumstances of life, and God is working in me and in you in those stuck times, then God gives you just the little bit of light that you need, that next direction. He may not show you everything, like the big picture of what he's doing, but you don't need to know the big picture. He does. We know him. So we trust him with that next thing that he shows us to do, and he gets us from being stuck to being unstuck. And you know what's amazing? Just when you think you're unstuck and you're just cruising along, everything's great, God allows you to come to a place again where you're stuck. And then you say, okay, Lord, what am I going to do? You pray, ask for help, ask the Lord for his direction, and you come humbly, and he helps you get unstuck. And all those times, he's growing you, so each time he's building your faith, because you're always going to get stuck, and you always come back to seek the Lord. Okay? Boy, I want to tell you, thank you for bringing that, because I did get stuck. I couldn't figure out where to go with that one, so there we go. All right, would you like the box, sir? No, you're not going to be here next week. You're going to be in Georgia. All right, let's see. Let's give this box away. Can I give you the box, sir?
Yeah.
All right, there you go. All right, guys and gals, you can go back to your seats at this time.
We'll continue singing this morning and worshiping Christ for who he is and what he has done. Our first song, we'll sing thanking God for sending the Redeemer, for sending his Spirit, for giving us the strength we need. Number 206, There is a Redeemer. He has done great and wonderful things, and the most wonderful thing that we see is that he has sent Jesus. On our next song, we'll sing of the wonders of creation, of the fair meadows, the fair nature, of all the wonderful and beautiful things God has made, and yet the fairest is Jesus himself. We'll sing Fairest Lord Jesus, and as we do, our young people ages 3, 4, and 5 will be dismissed to our children's church up on the second floor. Would you stand, please, as we sing praise to our Christ this morning, Fairest Lord Jesus.
What keeps you going? In the spiritual battle, what keeps you going? Now, that's a question to which you want the correct answer. And today, as we open the scriptures, God is going to answer that question for us. So I'm going to invite you to open your Bible with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, in the series, and really the final sermon in a series on the book of Joshua entitled Claiming God's Victory. Joshua and Israel were at a time of change. They had shared the last 25 years together. Joshua was a faithful leader. They had seen God do wonderful things in their lives. They had had some setbacks along the way, but they'd seen God faithfully lead them. Joshua was coming to the end of his journey, and now it was time for him to go forward into the eternal reward that he had for them, or that God had for him. But the people were going to that next step in their lives as well. And Joshua, at the end of his book, reminds the people of what kept him going as he led them, what kept them going as they followed the Lord in their generation. You're turned in your Bible to Joshua chapter 1. Let me read to you Joshua's testimony about what kept him going. This is Joshua chapter 21, verses 43 to 45. Listen as I read it aloud. Joshua 21, 23 to 45. Or 43 to 45. Joshua writes these words. If I can find it, my goodness, there we are. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord God had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. And then when Joshua, in the 23rd chapter of this book, gave his final address to the leaders who would follow him and lead the way in the next generation beyond his life, he reminded them of what kept them all going in this, in their days together. Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14. Joshua 23 and verse 14. And he said, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof." So when Joshua comes to the end of his life and he recounts what God did in his life, what did he say kept him going? What kept him going in all these years of battle and setback? What kept him going was the promises of God. Let me ask you an important question. Have you come to the place in your life that you stopped living on explanations and started living on promises? That's a great question, isn't it? Have you come to the place in your life when you have stopped living on explanations and started living on promises? Let's say that you have an accident. I'm sorry you had an accident. Let's say you had an accident and you really hurt your leg. And so you go to the emergency room. And you go to the emergency room and they take x-rays and they check you all out, and you're sitting there in the emergency room. And after a while, a doctor comes in. A doctor has a fistful of x-rays. He says, "Now, let me show you something." And he pulls out each x-ray and he's going to show you how the foot bone's connected to the ankle bone. And then the ankle bone's connected to the shin bone. And the shin bone's connected to the knee bone. And the knee bone's connected to the thigh bone. And the thigh bone's connected to the hip bone. And they're all connected to your wallet. Now, really, you probably don't care about how all the physiology and anatomy of it works. Here's what you want to know. You want the doctor to come in and say, "Listen, we've checked you out. Really sorry this happened to you, but I've good news for you. We're going to be able to get you fixed up. You'll be able to be back at it about 6 weeks." Now that gives you hope. Now, all the explanation may give you insight, but it doesn't give you hope. Living on promises gives you hope, And victorious people are people who live on promises, not on explanations. Many years ago, I was given a cassette tape. How many of you have ever heard of a cassette tape? How many of you younger persons have even seen a cassette? Any of y'all ever? Oh, you've even seen one of those museum pieces. Yeah. Someone gave me a cassette tape. That shows you how long ago it's been. And in the cassette tape was a sermon by Bible teacher, author, preacher Warren Wiersbe. And he preached on Joshua. It was such a good sermon. I took notes on his sermon. In fact, it was such a good sermon, I decided I'm going to take his sermon. I'm going to preach his sermon. So in that sermon, he talked about five dangers that are overcome when you live by promises. And today, guess what I'm going to preach on to you? I'm going to preach to you about five dangers that overcome when you live on promises. I've taken his sermon and reworked it and made it mine. And here we go. The five dangers that are overcome when you live on promises. Here's what you're going to find. You will find that you might be a person who is in danger. You may not even realize it. You're in danger because you're trying to live on explanations. Life is too big and too complex for you to understand everything. But you overcome the dangers by living on promises. And that's what we're going to ask God the Spirit to do for us today. We're going to ask Him to speak to us about living on promises. All right, let's pray, shall we? Well, God, we do come to You with such expectation that You will speak to us. You have spoken when You wrote the Word. And now we believe that You, from this Word, will speak to us afresh and wonderfully and personally by the Holy Spirit. So it's good to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit for His control, for all of us as a congregation to hear from You, for me as a preacher, to not just to preach, but to hear from You. And we ask, oh God, that You would do a supernatural work as we gather. And we pray this by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's talk about the five dangers that are overcome by faith. And we're going to go back again to the beginning of the book of Joshua, when Joshua began his journey with new challenges ahead. Now let me ask you this, what's ahead for you? What's ahead for you? Well, you know of some things that are ahead for you. You're already thinking about your schedule this week. Well, I've got this appointment here, and I've got this appointment there, and I have this that I'm planning on doing. And you have all the things already that you're planning on the week. But there are other things that you don't know about what's ahead. In fact, none of us know what really is ahead. But you will find this, whatever is ahead for you, that you will find God's overcoming power when you live on promises. So let's talk about the five dangers. Here's the first of the five. You ready? Number one. The first danger is the danger of looking back. The danger of looking back. So Joshua begins his book, the book that he is writing and carries his name, with these words, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. The book of Joshua begins with Moses. In the early verses of the book of Joshua, his name is mentioned 6 times. You'll find the name of Moses mentioned 57 times in the book of Joshua. Moses was a man that was a great leader, the greatest leader of the Old Testament. He was Joshua's mentor, Joshua's friend. But God was moving beyond Moses. What God was doing was bigger than Moses. And God was moving His people forward into new challenges, into new opportunities that He had promised them to claim the land that He had given them. He had given them a new leader, Joshua. There were people that were living in a new generation for a new cause. And God reminded them, even as they looked to the past, He reminds them that you have to be aware of the past, but you can't live in the past. So verse 2 tells us this, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto a land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. The past is not an anchor to hold you back. The past is a rudder to help you, to guide or to guide you into the future. Question for you. Is there a danger of looking back? Is that a real danger? Looking back? You know, for some, it's the good old days. Oh, I remember the good old days, as though God has stopped working in lives today. Then for others, they look in the past and they look at events of the past and circumstances of the past, sometimes defeats of the past, sometimes in their control, sometimes out of their control. And they just won't let it go. And they don't go forward because they're controlled by the past. How do I overcome the danger of looking back? Because all of us have a tendency at times to look back. Well, I overcome the danger of looking back by claiming the promises of God. So again, in verse 2, God says to Joshua, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them. God had promised them the land. Now you're going to have to be willing to get up and go claim the promise. The way you get past the danger of looking back is by claiming the promises of God. Oh, there's a wonderful man that God so greatly used. He's influenced the world. He's influenced many of our lives. His name was Paul. He's given a very special role as an apostle in the New Testament. But yet, before he was Paul, his name was Saul. And oh, what a history Saul had. He was an enemy of Christ. He hated Christ. He was an enemy of all who followed him, of all of his disciples. He, very religious man, very zealous in his religion, but oh, he hated Jesus Christ. And he invested his life as an enemy of Christ to stop the work that the Lord Jesus Christ was doing. But one day he met Jesus Christ and he put his trust in Jesus Christ to save his soul from hell. And when the Lord saved him, oh, what a difference he made, and oh, how God used him. But oh, it was not without difficulty. So many joyful victories and yet so many difficulties. But when he looked back, he had plenty to be grateful for. Plenty to be ashamed of. But do you know what his attitude was toward his past and all that it was? He tells us about it in Philippians chapter 3, and I'll turn in my Bible there. You're welcome to join me. Philippians chapter 3, and verse 14, or 13 and verse 14 of that chapter. Here's Paul's attitude. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What kept him from being held back from the past and looking back and living in the past? I'm going to go forward and just keep pressing and looking forward on the promises of God. And in your life, you'll find that if you're going to go past the past, you're going to have to go forward on the promises of God. Claim them to be true and live them. Well, there's the danger of looking back. There's a second danger that is overcome by living on promises that God tells us about in Joshua chapter 1. It's the danger of standing still. The danger of standing still. Oh, we sing the song, right? Standing on the promises of Christ my King. Well, Vance Havner, who's with the Lord now as an evangelist, very colorful individual. And Vance Havner used to say, most of the people that sing Standing on the Promises are really sitting on the premises. Now, there's a place for standing on the promises. But really, Promises are not for standing. You don't just stand on promises, you step out on promises. So God tells us this, Joshua chapter 1, verse 3 and then verse 4. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. You see, Joshua, or God tells Joshua, I have plans for you, but you can't stay where you are. Every place you go, I'll give it to you. It's yours, but you can't stand still. You're going to have to step out in faith and claim the promises that I have made for you. In Genesis chapter 13, Uncle Abraham and his nephew Lot were having some problems. They were both prospering. Their livestock were prospering, and their estates were prospering. And so Uncle Abraham and nephew Lot, they were just having a struggle, and their servants were getting in fights over water. And they were both trying to get to the water source, and they're having a real struggle. And Uncle Abraham says to his nephew Lot, hey, listen, we're not going to have a fight like this. Here's what I'm going to do. I want you to choose the land you want. You look out of all the land. You choose whatever you want. And whichever choice you make, that's fine. I'll choose the other direction. So nephew Lot looks out over everything. And he looked over to one plain, and there's a beautiful plain there. He said, that'd be a good place. But in that place, there are cities. Two cities you've probably heard of, Sodom and Gomorrah. And he chose that land, but he chose, if you read the scripture, Genesis 13:14, he dwelt in cities with walls. Uncle Abraham, on the other hand, Uncle Abraham said, okay, and he looked out, and he looked at the horizons. Let me read to you Genesis chapter 13, what God tells Abraham, Genesis 13, verse 14. Earlier I mentioned it was chapter 13, verse 14. It's chapter 13, verse 12. I'm sorry that Lot chose cities with walls. Listen to what God says to Abraham. And the Lord said to Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, and in the length of it, and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. See, Lot chose to live in cities bounded by walls. Abraham chose to believe God, and God gave him horizons. Now, I don't know what horizons are before you, but God has horizons for you, and the only way that you're going to experience the horizons that God has for you is to live by faith on God's promises. The danger of standing still. Just where I am. It's never going to be any different. I don't want to go any further with God. Just where I am, it's good enough. And friend, if that's where you are, that's all you're going to have. But God has horizons, but you're going to have to follow Him by faith. I wonder, what are the horizons that God is leading you to? That right now you've been so content standing still that you're not willing to go forward. Well, there's the danger of standing still. Peter and the disciples, they were with the Lord. The Lord was doing wonderful things. And after the wonderful day of ministry, the Lord sent them across the Sea of Galilee and said, I'll meet you on the other side. And the Lord went up to pray, spend time with the Heavenly Father. The disciples were on the Sea of Galilee. They're crossing through the night, and a tremendous storm comes up, a tremendous tempest. And they're afraid for their lives. And in the midst of this storm, do you remember the account? Here comes Jesus walking on the water out to them. And Peter gets a crazy idea. I think I'm going to walk on the water to meet Jesus. And so he jumps out of the boat and starts walking on the water. What do you think the other disciples were thinking? What do you think they're saying? Peter, what are you doing? Peter, what are you? It's dangerous, Peter. And I can see there's a big wave. And Peter, look out, there's a big one. But there he goes, walking on the water. And when you read the account, you know what happens. He's walking on the water, and then he takes his eyes off Jesus. And what happens when he takes his eyes off Jesus? What happens? He begins to sink. Jesus reaches out and pulls him up. He'd say, oh, see, Peter took his eyes off Jesus. He began to, sure he did, but hey, listen. He walked on water. The other 11 didn't know what it was like to walk on water. Do you know what he learned? He learned that with Jesus, he could go places he would never go otherwise. He could experience things he could never experience otherwise. He learned that even in his failure and his defeat, that Jesus could reach out and pull him up and restore him. I wonder if you're caught with the danger of standing still. I don't know if this was from Warm Wiersbe or if this was from H.A. Ironside, so I don't know where the story came from, but I heard the story of a church, a little church, and their slogan for their church was Jesus Only. They had it in letters on the front of their church, Jesus Only. And the church fell in disrepair, and some of the letters fell off. And now the front of the church said, us only. You know, it's so easy to get caught standing still. Maybe you found yourself succumbing to the danger of standing still. Now, living by promises keeps you from standing still. Because to live by promises and live on promises, you have to believe God's promises today. Now, yesterday, I hope you had a good Saturday. Did you have a good Saturday? I hope you did. Did you know that you cannot believe God and live on promises yesterday? That's already done. You can't ever go back. But today, you can choose to live on promises today. You can look forward to living on promises tomorrow. And today you can live on those promises. But you can't go back to yesterday. And what happens in your life is if you will believe God and stand on His promises or step out on His promises today, every new day it's another stepping on faith. Every new day, God, I need your help. I'm believing you and trusting you. Every new day, God, I'll die to self and claim your truth to be real. Every new day you choose to trust God's promises. And as you do that, it keeps you from standing still. Hey, there's a third danger that Joshua tells us about. Really, God tells us about in the first chapter of Joshua. We've read about learned about the danger of looking back and the danger of standing still. There's another danger that is overcome by living on promises, not explanations. It is the danger of giving up. The danger of giving up. Oh, what did the people of Israel have a job before them? In Deuteronomy, when the account is given of the land, oh, what a land it was. There were 31 walled cities, 31 armies. Actually, many more armies than that. It was rough terrain in places. Giants. strong enemies. That was a big job that God had placed before them. What is God's promise with the formidable ahead? Because every one of us can look at times in our life, and you may be right there now, where there are things that are ahead that are formidable. And to you, they're just as real as walled cities and giants and enemies all around. Here's what God says. God's promise is when the formidable is ahead. Joshua chapter 1 verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And generations before, this had been God's promise to his people. Isaac, one of the patriarchs, boy, they got in a rough spot. There was a famine in the land. And he said, what am I going to do? There's a famine. I've got to feed everybody. We may die here. What am I going to do? And he said, I don't know. I'm going to go down into Egypt. And God said, no, don't go to Egypt. Genesis 26, 3, don't go there. Stay right here, because if you'll stay right here, I want you to know this, I will be with thee. Jacob and his brother you talk about a dysfunctional family. Jacob and his brother Esau, these are dysfunctional guys. Jacob was a scoundrel and Esau lived for the moment. The last they had seen each other, they didn't leave on good terms, they left on bad terms. In fact, Jacob fled from his brother Esau, fearing for his life. His brother Esau was so mad at him, he was going to kill him. Now, many, many years have passed. They haven't seen each other. They've been estranged for decades. And Jacob wants to come home. But oh, he was afraid. What's his brother going to do? What's it going to be like? And the night before Jacob was to see his brother and see if they could be reunited, Jacob met with a man. He had a wrestling match with a man. And this man he was wrestling wasn't really man, was he? We learned about him. He was wrestling with God. It's a theophany when God appears in the form of a man and communicates himself. And Jacob was wrestling with God, and he realized that he was wrestling with God. And as he's wrestling with God, he said, I'm not going to let go of you until you bless me. And he says, God says to him, listen, I want you to know this. I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. Moses argued with God. How many of you have ever argued with God? Who's argued with God, huh? Yeah. Argued with God. Moses said, now here's what we're going to, or God said, Moses, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have you lead my people out of bondage in Egypt and bring them into freedom. And Moses had this argument with God of all the reasons why he was right and God was wrong. How many of you have had that argument? I know I'm right and God's wrong. You're almost afraid to admit it. God says, hey, stop arguing. Here's what you need to know. I'll be with thee. Moses comes to the end of his life and leadership. He prepares the people for the times ahead. Deuteronomy chapter 31, I think it's verses 6 and 7. Listen, here's what you need to know. You walk with God, God will be with you. The enemies are great. Formidable, yes. But God will be with you. And now Joshua's taking over and he's in this new role. They're going to places they had never been. They're going to face enemies that caused such fear a generation earlier. What caused him to overcome? He lived on promises. I will be with thee. And you know, aren't you glad that Jesus didn't just stop there? Did you know that Jesus has a wonderful promise for you? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, and then verse 6. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. It's always too soon to quit. It's always too soon to quit. You hear about the sign in an office that said, if at first you don't succeed, try again. Then quit. There's no use in being bullheaded. It's always too soon to quit. How many of you have ever seen or read the Chicken Soup for the Soul book series? Anyone read Chicken Soup for the Soul? All right. I read an article in Success Magazine with Jack Canfield, the co-author of the Chicken Soup series, said that he wrote the book, he and the co-author wrote the book, and before the first of the series was published, he was rejected by 144 publishers. After the first one, he's done quite well. Sold millions of copies. It's always too soon to quit. Can I say it again? It's always too soon to quit. Well, there's the danger of looking back, the danger of standing still, the danger of giving up. There's another danger. It's the danger of falling short. The danger of falling short. In the study of Joshua, we have repeatedly come to these three very important Old Testament places. One of the Old Testament places that's really important that speak to our spiritual state and standing is Egypt. One is Egypt, where we picture as being enslaved by sin and spiritual bondage. And as God, in his powerful arm, brought out the people of Israel from bondage into freedom and liberty, so it is that Jesus Christ, by his powerful arm, has paid the price, and in his powerful resurrection, brings all who put their faith in him out of bondage into freedom and liberty. Have you come to Christ and been saved? Egypt. Then there's another place. It's really the place that we've learned about in the book of Joshua. It's Canaan. Now, Canaan, you know, sometimes there are those old songs and they speak of Canaan like it's heaven. And Canaan doesn't really picture heaven. Canaan pictures a life of victory, of fighting battles, a land where there is a spiritual inheritance that is given, but it must be claimed. Which did God give Joshua to claim? Well, look in your Bible again, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. So Joshua claimed the inheritance that God had promised. Now there is one more important place. It's the place of the wilderness. It describes someone living out of the will of God. And as the people of Israel did not believe God in the generation prior to Joshua, so they wandered in the wilderness living out of the will of God. And whenever Joshua begins his journey of leadership and the people with him, the question before them was, are you going to claim the spiritual inheritance that God's given you? Well, there are walls. Yes, there are walls. There are cities. Yes, there are cities. There are giants. Yes, there are giants. There are mountains. Yes, there are mountains. There are battles. There are armies. But all of this is before us. Well, Lord, what about? But God promised it to you, and God will help you. Well, how? How is God going to do it? Well, you claim God's promises. You claim God's promises. And you ask yourself, you say, but Lord, with some of the challenges that I have in my life, you're telling me that you have a spiritual inheritance that is powerful enough to overcome every one of those challenges in my life? Yeah. You're telling me that grace is enough to help me? You're telling me that my inadequacies, you can overcome them and transform me in my life? Yes. Well, how, Lord? Well, you claim the promises that I've given you. When you claim the promises, you fight the battles. Claiming the promises and fighting the battles, you rest in God's power, and God brings you into rest. It's one of the strange things about claiming the victory that God has. You don't find rest looking for rest. You find rest fighting the battles and claiming God's promises. And when you're fighting and claiming God's promises and you're learning about God's help and His power, then He gives you rest. It's one of the themes of the book of Hebrews. The overarching theme of the book of Hebrews is the superiority of Christ, and theologically that is true, but really, practically, the theme of the book of Hebrews is, are you going to claim your spiritual inheritance? You can keep your place in Joshua 1 and go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. When you get there, find verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. Hey, that's that time back in Kadesh Barnea, when the generation before Joshua's generation didn't believe God. And then look, if you will, verse 11. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now verse 19. So we see then that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And then chapter 4, verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. The promise is there for you to claim. Don't come short. Rest does not happen when there are no battles. Rest happens when you fight the battles and you believe God's promises in the battles, and God moves you into a place of victory that you had never experienced had you not believed God. My friend, be careful that you fall short rather than taking God at His word and pressing forward in the battle. The danger of falling short. It's overcome by living on promises, not explanations. And then there's one more danger that God tells us about in the book of Joshua, chapter 1. It is the danger of taking over. The danger of taking over. Joshua chapter 1. Look, if you will, in your Bible, verse 7. I'll read through verse 9. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not to it to the right hand or to the left, or turn not from it. Oh, that makes a big difference, to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That's a strange place to carry your Bible. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You see, the Bible is such a part of your life and God's law that you think about it all the time and you meditate. How many of you find yourself at times talking to yourself? Who talks to yourself? You mutter? You talk out loud to yourself? You talk out loud to yourself? Yeah, you do? Okay. Who just, at least in your own mind, you're talking to yourself all the time, right? So we have a number of mutterers here. That's what the idea of meditate is, to mutter. So we have some mutterers here. God says, here's the thing. I want you to know that if you want to know my power to overcome, you're going to have to be so engrossed in my word that you're going to think about it all the time. And when you put me and my word first, and it's such the forefront of your thoughts, and it's filling your mind, and you're meditating and thinking on it constantly, what's going to happen is I'm going to do something in your life that you can't do. I'm going to do something supernatural and give you power that you don't have. The only way you're going to do it is to make sure that you are focused on me and on my word. And as my word guides you, I'll help you in ways you can't ever imagine. But you have to be careful, because you're going to want to take over and do it your way. Have you found in your life that sometimes you don't want to take over and do it your way? My way or God's way? In Joshua's life, remember, there were two times that Joshua, in all the years of leading so faithfully and well and powerfully, there were just two times that Joshua decided to do it my way and not God's way. And both of those times brought him to defeat. Oh, do you remember Ai? That little city, and they had just been, I mean, come on, look what they did, the power of God in Jericho. This huge city, massive, what an incredible victory God gave. And so Joshua's like, hey, we got it going here. Let's just go conquer Ai. And little Ai defeated them. See, Joshua didn't know there was sin in the camp. Now, he could have said, okay, Lord, now what's the next step? But he said, no, you know, I got this. I've got my way. I'm just going to go right on my way. Oh. The other time he chose his way was when the Gibeonites came and deceived him. Remember how they were all dressed up with the old sorry-looking clothes? They looked like they'd been so far away. Had their moldy, crusty bread and deceived Joshua. He made a mistake. He could have had a prayer meeting and said, we need to really pray about this. Let's ask God what to do here. But he thought, you know, looked it over, I think I got this. The two mistakes in the man's life were the two times he decided to do it my way rather than ask God for his way. How many of you have had mistakes in your life like that? I chose my way and not God's way. And I had this thing all figured out. And I got it going. My way. But I found out way too late. Oh, I wish I would have waited on God. I wish I would have done it God's way. And when you think of those times in your life, you are a living testimony of the very danger that God warned Joshua about. The danger of taking over and choosing my way rather than leave it with God's way. Have you found yourself at times taking over? Well, in Joshua's very first battle, he had a meeting that was life-changing. We read about it in Joshua chapter 5. I'll invite you to turn there with me. He's going to, just on the verge of the battle with Jericho. Joshua chapter 5, listen to what happens, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. He's the captain of the Lord's armies. And watch what Joshua does. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And Joshua did so. This was another account where God shows up in human form. We learned about it just a few minutes ago, a theophany. God appears and meets with Joshua. And whenever God met with him, God taught Joshua this. He said, you know, Joshua, when you stop trying to take over and do things my way, you will learn that you are not alone. You're not alone. I'm with you. There are some decisions that you can make and you will make. And at times you're going to feel like you're alone. But remember, Joshua, you're never going to be alone. I'm always going to be there with you. When you stop trying to take over, I'll tell you something else you'll learn. You'll learn that you are second in command. Oh, Joshua was well trained to lead. He was mentored by Moses all those years. He'd seen Moses do it. Moses shared his life with him. He was an excellent soldier. He'd been battle tested, and he now takes the leadership in his generation. But as a great general, what he really understood, and this is what made Joshua such a great general, he understood that while he was a great general, what really made him great was that God was the first in command. He was second in command. There's something else he learned. He learned this. He learned that you're on holy ground. What is it that God has for you? Whatever God has for you. If God has you in this place doing this thing, and he has you in this place, whatever God has for you, do you look at it as holy ground? This is what God has chosen for me at this point in my life. It's a sacred trust. It's holy ground. And when you are willing to let God take over and choose his way, something else Joshua learned that you'll learn, and that is that victory is secure. So chapter 6, verse 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Your victory is secure. Are you finding yourself, or maybe the better question is this, is God the Holy Spirit speaking to you about the danger of looking back? Is God the Holy Spirit speaking to you about the danger of standing still? What about the danger of giving up? Maybe the danger of falling short. Maybe God the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about the danger of taking over. So ask yourself, how do I overcome these dangers? You know what God's answer was? God's answer for Joshua is the same answer that he has for you today. You live on promises, not on explanations. So today, for you, is the day. Today is the day that you stop living on explanations. And you start living on promises. And when you start living on promises rather than explanation, then what's happening is, or what will happen is, that in a new and a fresh and powerful way, God will help you to claim the victory that he has for you. Would you stand with me, please? And we will pray together. Lord God, we are grateful. We are so grateful that you give us promises. And we ask, oh God, that you would speak to us now. I believe really by faith that you have spoken. But now you're bringing people to decision points. They're deciding, are they going to claim your promises? Do things your way and live on promises, or are they going to stay where they are because they're demanding explanations? So help us, Lord God. Now, before I finish my prayer and I finish talking to the Lord about things, I want to talk to you about some things. Could it be that today is the day when you need to repent? You say, repent? Yeah. Because you have been demanding of God that He gives you explanations for everything. As though God owes you explanations. Listen, it's so complicated, so beyond you and me. Even if God gave us every explanation, we couldn't handle it, so we live on promises. I like it when God gives explanations, don't you? But He doesn't owe you explanations. But He does give promises. And today's the day that you say, God, would you forgive me for demanding of you explanations rather than trusting you and your promises? Today's the day that you can say, you know, Lord, I know I need Jesus Christ. I know He powerfully rose from the dead for me, and I've never put my trust in Him. Today's for the day for you to claim that promise. All that come to me, I will in no wise cast out, Jesus said. And He's waiting for you to come. Right where you are, you can come and say, okay, Lord, I'll put my trust in you by faith to save me. But this is a day for you, wherever you are in your life, to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to step out on promises. And so, Lord, bring joy and victory in it all, we pray. And we ask that you would prove yourself to us again and again and again. For we know you are faithful and powerful and true. And we ask, oh God, that you would give us the courage and the faith to believe you. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The instrumentalists are playing. This is your time to seek the Lord. We have people waiting. Say, I want someone to pray with me. That's great. We have some. You say, I just want to take these steps or these front chairs as a place where I seek the Lord. That's wonderful. You say, I want someone to lead me to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just tell the men they're waiting, I want someone to lead me to Christ. I have questions, and they're here to serve and help you as you make those very important decisions in your life.
Several announcements to know about this morning. We have this evening the recommitment service for Michael and Barbara Hinson and their family going back to Georgia. So there'll be a reception with them following the service in the fellowship hall. Also, we'll be honoring two of our graduates, Robbie Waller and Lauren Wigington. So you can go by and congratulate them and say your goodbyes to the Hinsons and wish the Lord's blessings on them. Also tonight, there will be men's basketball over in the gym, continuing community outreach over there. Coming up a week from today, so next Sunday night and the following Sunday night, rather than have our normal Sunday evening service, both of those weeks will be Vacation Bible School in here in the auditorium. So that will be a little change for us. So that will start Sunday the 11th, and then we'll do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we'll also do Sunday June 18th in here as well. So be in prayer with us about that. We have opportunities for outreach Wednesday and Thursday. You can see those distribution times. And then also we'll be doing on Wednesday the training for the VBS workers. Parents, if you want to register your children, you can do so online. You can donate funds for purchasing snack, craft, or take-home items. You can designate that in your offering. And then you'll see a couple other announcements there. The Ask the Pastor Night coming up this Wednesday as well. The opportunity to host a summer ministry fellowship group in your home, capture the flag. And then the final thing I'll make mention of, there's a number of dishes that folks have brought either for funeral or for the church picnic that are in our kitchen in the fellowship hall. So if you are missing something, or if you're not even sure if you're missing something, take a look back there. We would rather it be at your home than here. That'd be wonderful if you'd get those dishes. Let's go ahead and close our service this morning by singing the chorus, "Declare His Glory Among the Nations."
Declare His glory among the nations, throughout creation His triumph sing. Till all earth's peoples bow in adoration, and Jesus Christ be everlasting King.
Thank you for joining us. Jesus said to those who believed on Him in John chapter 8, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We join our God in desiring that you will know the liberating power of the truth of God's word as you apply it to your life. We would love to hear from you and find out what God is doing in your life. You can go to our website, stanleyheights.org. There you can contact us with your prayer requests. You can ask a question. You can find a free resource to study the Bible as a guide in your journey. You can get other sermons and other free resources that are available for you. While we're talking, may I ask you this question? Have you made the most important decision of your life to turn to Jesus Christ and receive Him by faith to be your personal Savior? Oh, if you haven't, would you do so right now? And if you would like some more guidance in that decision, you can go to our website, stanleyheights.org/eternity, and you'll find some help that will guide you in that decision. Again, thank you for joining us. I look forward to hearing from you soon.